You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
In 2009, Erk went to the dark side and became a music podcaster. He discovered a wide, wide selection of music. Apart from Dozy Do by Julie the Band, it's now 2010 and Erk comes down the pipe and into your ears. Bigger, stronger and faster. Every Friday, it's Erk FM time. Now here's your host of Erk FM from Channel Erk. Here's Erk!
G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 75 of Erk FM. Erk FM is my music podcast that is a part of Channel Erk, coming out of Sydney, Australia. For more information, you can go to erkfm.com. Erk FM comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week, but it's Tuesday, and for the last few weeks we have been having a variety of interviews from a variety of artists. The majority of the artists so far have been from Juice Management and Promotion, but this first artist is my first interview from Aerial Publicity, which is quite cool. On the line from a sort of snowy New York, depending on which part of New York you're from, is Kipero. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
I've got a real fascination with snow, considering that I'm in Australia, and if it snows here, where I am about an hour off the East Coast, I'm going to be in some real dramas. What's the snow situation in the States near where you are at the moment?
Right now, it's not too bad. A couple hours upstate, we really got pretty much less than an inch, and then downstate, they got slammed with about a foot. So, very interesting how the system kind of worked, and we were kind of in the clear. So,
so how do you cope when you have massive amount of snows and you basically can't go anywhere? Is that a good time for songwriting?
It can be. I mean, usually if I'm totally snowed in, the guitar will certainly be at the top of the list, and I'll just start jamming out with songs that I've written, and then gradually just start coming up with some new things. So it's a good time for some innovation.
Well, you know, there's only so many things you can do if you can't go out of your front door, I suppose.
Exactly. Totally.
Do you usually have problems like with losing your internet or losing power if the snow's that bad?
No. I think the one time it was really bad was last year. In December at school, we got a huge ice storm and a lot of power went out around the county. And so they had to send us home early and we got out of most of our finals. So it was pretty cool.
I'm sure they got you in the end anyway.
Well, some of us, yes. But for the most part, it was pretty nice.
So how close are you to New York City?
Well, from Albany, about 3 hours, and from where I'm from, downstate, it's only about an hour and 15. So when I'm not in school, so about like 3 months during the summer, I'm only about an hour and 15, which is pretty good because I love going down to the city in the summertime. It's great.
But not so much the winter.
No, not so much the winter. For Christmas, it's nice to go down there and see the tree in Rockefeller Center, but for the most part, I'm up here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into music.
Well, I've been singing for a very long time, since I was a little girl, and I always had a love for it. And I started actually taking piano lessons when I was about 9 years old. And I took piano lessons for about 6 years. And then I decided to venture off and pick up a guitar when I was 16. And that just kind of opened a lot of doors for me in terms of songwriting. So it was really, it was pretty neat.
So when you picked up the guitar at 16, did you go to guitar lessons or did you teach yourself?
I actually had a family member teach me the first few chords. And then after that, I really was just self-taught, and I used a lot of pictures from chord books and looked up some stuff online. For the most part, it was self-taught. It came to me pretty quickly. By the second day after I had actually, after someone showed me the first couple of chords, I was going back and forth between them both. So I was, I picked it up pretty quickly.
And I presume, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're writing your own stuff, you can basically do what you want anyway, compared to if you were doing something like Stairway to Heaven or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely fun. I love the freedom that you have. And I like doing some covers too, like especially when I gig out, it's pretty cool to kind of engage the audience with some songs that they definitely know and they can kind of relate to. So, I love the variety in songwriting. It's great.
So how do you come up with your songwriting ideas?
Really the easiest way to approach it is through your own experiences. And I'm sure lots of artists would agree that usually if you feel really strongly about something, the songs tend to write themselves in many ways. So really my experiences and inspirations through people that have inspired me, I kind of like to send some subliminal messages in my song without saying who they are.
So who does inspire you musically?
Musically, in terms of artists, I have a lot of people that I really think are awesome artists, like Juanes, who's a Colombian rocker, KT Tunstall. I like a lot of classic rock, like AC/DC. But on a personal level, it really just comes down to friends and family and past relationships. So, and any time in life when you just kind of struggle a little bit, it's also a great way to kind of come out with some material, and just, it's like a therapy almost, and it's great. And I love writing, with my emotions in those songs.
So do you write a specific tune for it as well, or do you just strum along? And
yeah, it just kind of, it kind of forms itself. It's funny because sometimes I'll start writing and I'll, sometimes the lyrics will come first, this would be cool, let me write this down, and then I'll add music later, or sometimes I'll just be playing and a chord progression will just sound, pretty decent, and then I'll keep that, and then maybe the next day I'll be like, you know what, this would be better, and it just kind of like, it's like puzzle pieces, and I finally put it all together, so it's different every time.
Some of my regular listeners are probably going to get sick of this question, but I never get sick of hearing the answer. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and you come up with a really great idea. What do you do?
I hopefully remember it. I feel like that if something really does pop into my head, and if it's a situation where it is 3 o'clock in the morning, I sleep on it, and if it was good enough, I'll remember it the next day.
What about if you're out and about, you could be like going to college or traveling around or whatever. What have you got, like pen and paper or a mobile phone or?
Not really, actually. I think the one thing that I do is I just hum it a lot. And so the more that I hum and I, kind of just get the tune in my head so that's familiar, so that by the time I sit down with a guitar, I remember it. And that's how I make my mental notes. I really don't write anything down, which I probably should when I'm out. But, usually, it starts with just a tune, and I start humming it, and it just, I transfer it to the guitar. As odd as that may sound.
Well, if it works for you, humming it until it becomes an earworm. You know what an earworm is?
A what?
An earworm.
What's that?
I basically have, when you're sort of, you're doing something and then all of a sudden a song gets stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it, even if you haven't heard it for a while?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, I call that an earworm.
Okay, cool.
And what I did on the show last year, and there's one coming up soon this year, is out of all the songs that I've played, if a song gets stuck in my head and I can't get it out, I include it onto an earworm special, and then I put all my earworm songs together. And so that should be a really catchy episode.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
So why don't we start off with one of your songs, because who knows, that might even become an earworm for someone.
Maybe it will.
So here is I've Got Your Number. What's the story behind that?
Basically, just a relationship that I wasn't really digging. it's kind of sad because it's just one of those things where it just didn't work, and I think you don't even have to be a girl to relate to this song. It could be a guy too, even though I'm singing about a guy. One of those high school relationship things. And it just kind of, it makes you mad and upset with the way that they act. And it was time to move on. So.
Well, it's been a while for me, but we'll have a listen anyway. This is Capero with I've Got Your Number here on IRC FM.
Well, there's been something telling me stay away. And every time I see you, get stronger.
I've Got Your Number, and I'm wondering if the ladies out there, especially Jen, she'll really understand that message. I'm sure if I listen to it enough times, I'll probably get the message. It takes me a while to get messages sometimes.
It's okay. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, indeed. So where are you from originally? Because you also sing in Spanish.
Yes, I'm actually originally I was born in New York, so I was originally from New York, and but I don't actually I do sing in Spanish, but I don't have any Spanish background. But my heritage is really based out of Italy, and actually some Russia in there too.
That's an interesting mix. So I presume with the Italian background that I'm getting my countries mixed up here. I'm wondering how does the Spanish work with Italian?
Yeah, I never took up Italian in school, and that's really how I started with the Spanish, was just by starting to take the language in seventh grade, and I continued with it all throughout school, and started listening to a lot of Spanish music, and I just really developed a passion for the language and the different cultures from different Spanish-speaking countries. So eventually I decided to make the leap and integrate that into the music, and I think it worked okay.
Well, we'll find out very shortly, because I've got one. I specifically asked for one of your Spanish numbers, so I can play it, because I do have at least one listener who can speak Spanish. Actually, on my talk podcast, Irk Pod, that comes out on Channel Irk on Wednesdays, I've got an occasional segment which is called "The Plane Is About to Crash and That's Okay," because I only speak and understand English. And someone could be talking to me in a foreign language, for instance, Spanish, and they could be telling me something bad, like the plane is about to crash and we're all going to die. But but in reality, my brain is hearing, oh, yes, that lady is, you know, really hot for me right now, sort of thing. So it's interesting how the brain works, you know, my uni language brain.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you should take one of those Berlitz courses, like in-flight Spanish. It could help, you know. You never know.
I've actually got a phone translator on my iPhone, but the only thing that I've really programmed into it, and I haven't really done anything with it, is the plane's about to crash, and that's okay. So. But it's interesting, when I was over in New York City, you know, the amount of different people that were in there in such a small area. It's absolutely amazing to think that there's so many people in such a small area compared to what I'm used to. And at first it was a bit strange, but you know, a couple of days, it just seemed, you know, you sort of get acclimatized to it and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's New York City is definitely a melting pot of cultures, and that's one of the reasons why I love it so much. It really is an amazing place.
So do you do many gigs at the moment, or are you...
Right now, it's mainly just gigging out around the Albany area. Usually I like to gig out in New York City more over the summers when I'm closer to home. But like around here, it's pretty fun, especially up at school. Because word spreads pretty quickly at school, so the support here has been pretty great. So it's a lot of fun, you know, like it's definitely, you know, it's challenging to balance, you know, school and music, but it can be fun too. If you manage your time wisely, you can definitely get through it, and it really is, it's fun. I love it.
So what are you studying at the moment?
I'm studying Spanish. And, I'm majoring in Spanish, and so that helps a lot, and it kind of helps grammatically. It's funny because, you know, you can try and write a song grammatically correct in Spanish, but, you know, there could be tons of different ways to say something that you don't think would be grammatically correct depending on the dialect. So I'm trying to become more street savvy of Spanish, you know, spoken like everyday Spanish, rather than just, okay, what's perfectly grammatically correct? Because, you know, that's one of the challenges, but it's fun. It really is.
So your Spanish listeners are probably sitting there thinking, you know, she's got that wrong. And I'd be sitting in the audience and going, wow, that's really cool. I've got no idea what she's saying, but that's so cool.
Yeah, you know, we'll see how it goes. I, you know, it's definitely a new angle. So, you know, so far, the feedback has been pretty good, and, you know, I'm just going to keep going with it. And, you know, like, music just, it speaks for itself, so.
So what's the main aim? What do you intend to do with your music? Is it the aim to do it full-time, to be able to, you know, not need to get a day job eventually?
Yeah, I mean, like, the ultimate goal is definitely to make a career out of it. You know, I just go as far as I can, and having been a finalist in the John Lennon songwriting contest for my song La Sombra, that just happened in September, and that was a big indication to me. I was like, wow, you know, that's so cool, and, you know, to be a finalist in the Latin category and not be a native speaker was just very gratifying, and it gave me a boost and, you know, the confidence to just say, hey, you know, keep going with this, you know what I mean? Like, why stop?
So how did that competition come about? How did you find out about that?
I found it online, and I just decided to submit my music, and it's pretty simple. I mean, you know, you have to pay to submit your songs, but I mean, you just choose the ones that you want to submit, and then they have two different sessions, and then it takes about, like, I think 3 months or so. 2 or 3 months for them to listen and judge and then release the results. So that's, I mean, it's pretty simple how it works, but, you know, anyone could do it. You know, everyone should do it. You know, if you wrote a song, you know, submit it, you know?
So there's no performance element to it. There's no, like, American Idol, you know, everyone just rocks up and.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be anyone. Which I love. You know, there's all different types of categories of songwriting contests, and this one was international, and so the stage is just open for anyone to enter. So, and you don't have to be a professional, you know, it could be anyone.
Have you ever thought, or have you ever tried, like, the American Idol concept?
You know, it's funny, because I did think about it a few years ago, but honestly, I decided not to pursue it because it just wasn't the path that I saw myself walking down. It was just really, I think the American Idol thing is great for exposure, but it just wasn't something that I thought that I saw myself doing. So just decided to make my own path.
Well, your path seems to be going all right at the moment. Let's hear the Spanish song. I'm going to have to get you to introduce it, because, as I said, my Spanish is basically non-existent. La Sombra, is that right?
Yes, it is La Sombra.
And what's that song about?
Well, it the song's called La Sombra, which means the shadow, and it's just basically about, it could be anyone, any person that is perhaps maybe infatuated with you, and it just always seems to kind of linger around, want to get to know you all the time, and just doesn't let up. And so you're just kind of like, all right, you know, I think you're kind of cool. This enchants me a little bit, but I don't think you're right for me. So basically back off. So that's kind of like the concept for the song. So I decided to add a mysterious element to it by kind of like a metaphorical thing with the shadow. So if you know someone who's, you know, a little overbearing, they could be your shadow.
So have you performed this song in English as well?
No, just in Spanish. Well, actually, no, I take that back, because when I first wrote it, I wrote the first half in English and then Spanish, but then I thought it sounded much better just all in Spanish, so.
So let's hear it.
All right.
Porque estás cerrándome, no eres parte de mí. Me encontraste, mi mente no puede escapar de ti. Guapo, me encantas, pero quiero que te vayas. Estás adentro, me duele el corazón. Tus ojos y tu voz, ya los conocí yo. Quieres amarme, esta
Now, if I had to listen to the first song, you know, 10 million times to get the messages out of it, I'd probably have to listen to that one about 20 million times. But as I said, it all sounds good to me.
Thank you.
So you've just released another song, is that right?
Yes, I just released a new track called Come to Me. And I just cut that actually in the beginning of January. So it's basically fresh out of the studio.
So what's the studio process like for you?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I just started recording in the summer of 2008. And I just learned so much, and I really didn't know how much went into it and the technical aspects of it. And it really amazes me. And the guys down at the studio are amazing. And they're a lot of fun to work with. And each time I go down there, it gets easier. And, you know, in terms of, you know, communicating what exactly you envision with the song, you know, the familiarity of the process. So, I mean, it really is a lot of fun to record. And, you know, it just amazes me.
So when it comes down to the studio, how long would you have spent in the studio to get that song right?
Well, for the last one I just did?
Yeah.
That was really quick. It only took about 2 full days in terms of laying down guitar, vocals, and drums. So, I mean, that one was pretty quick because we were under some time constraints, but I mean, we did everything and I thought it came out really great. And yeah, I mean, it depends. I think the last time, the very first time I recorded the EP, it was only the first 4 songs that were in English. And that took a little longer because, I had never recorded at a big studio before, so like I had to learn the process. But now, since I'm familiar with it, we just get right to work.
Because it would have been very intimidating the first time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. You walk into a studio and you see, you know, platinum records and gold records hanging on the wall, and you're like, oh, here I am. You know, what do we do now?
am I in the right place?
What's that?
You sort of think, I'm presuming, you know, am I in the right place?
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah, but the guys down at the studio, they're awesome, and I made some really good friends out of the process. So it was very rewarding experience for me personally.
And so how does that compare to performing live?
You know, there's really nothing better than performing live. I mean, when I perform live, it's like I give it every ounce of energy that I have. And you know, by the time I'm done, you know, you're still like on that adrenaline rush. And, you know, a lot of my shows are acoustic shows. And I'm usually aggressive when I play the guitar. But I mean, not overly aggressive, but just like, you know, I get it going. And, you know, and it's just wonderful. I love performing live, and I hold high standards for myself. So, you know, I guess you could say I'm very hard on myself because I want every show, you know, to be awesome. So, you know, if you go to one of my shows, you won't be disappointed in terms of a live performance. It's pretty fun.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with being your worst critic, because if you can't be your worst critic, who can be, really?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you know what you're doing on a show-by-show basis. Like, I might only come to one of your shows, and, you know, because I can only make the one show, and I might think, well, you know, you went really well. And then you might be thinking to yourself, well, I could have done this better, I could have done that better, and all of that sort of thing.
That's exactly how I am. Like, I, you know, people say, oh, my God, you know, that was a really cool song, and I'll be like, oh, thanks, and then I'll say to myself, man, you know, I'm surprised because I didn't think I sang that one line. Like, there was just something really wrong there, I thought, and, you know, yeah, people won't notice it. So, I mean, I'll notice the little things that I do, and it's like, oh, you know, next time I really want to, you know, sing that note louder or, you know, pronounce that phrase better. So, I mean, every time there's something else that personally I feel that I can improve on. So it's a learning experience too.
Do you ever forget the words or accidentally put in the wrong words?
Yep, all the time. yeah, I'd say like there's always a moment at every show where if it's my own song or if it's a cover, you know, I'll forget you know, a word here or there, and I'll try and ad lib a little bit and improvise. But, you know, you just kind of keep going. You don't really think anything of it, because I'm sure many artists will say that it happens all the time. So if I try to be too perfect, it just, you know, you can't. So, but it's fun, though.
Yeah, that's what the studio is for.
Exactly, yeah.
And that, of course, relies on you hearing the cover correctly in the first place. I know there's many songs that, you know, you hear the words one way and it actually turns out to be another way. Like the classic song, "Excuse Me While I Kiss the Sky." Many people hear that as "Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy."
Yeah. I mean, that's also a thing too. And, you know, it's one of the challenges when you perform out live, you know, you can't guarantee that they're going to get everything, but I mean, the main goal is to, you know, well, are they enjoying the music, you know? And regardless of what you're singing, you know, the goal is their foot tapping and are they, you know, shaking their head? Are they having a good time? You know, that's what I look for.
Do you try and put your own bit of personality into a cover?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, you can try and sing it a certain way that an artist may sing it, and if it doesn't really work for you, you know, and if especially if your voice type is really different, then I think you're almost obligated to kind of make it into your own style. And I think that that's the best way to approach covers sometimes, is to kind of make it your own. But definitely, you know, sing the song and don't change the melody or anything. But I mean, you know, if you put your own little beat into it, or you slow it down, and you know, it could be pretty cool. And people might actually remember that one cover that you do in a show and come back to the show, you know, excited to hear that cover.
Well, you never know. What sort of crowd reaction do you get your songs versus a cover? Do people wait for the covers, or people are just happy to be able to hear you at all?
You know, I mix it up a lot. So the reactions that I get with my own songs are very, very good, very favorable. And, you know, but it's always interesting because, you know, when you play a song like Black Rose and the Cherry Tree, you know, some people will be like, oh, what's that song? And then you start playing it because it's, you know, a Katie Tunstall song. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that. And they'll be like, oh, okay. And they'll get, like, excited and everything. And I do... Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero, and people get really into that too. So I mean, you know, and then when you play I've Got Your Number, it's like, oh yeah, you know, like it's I've Got Your Number. So I mean, you know, it's definitely a mixed reaction, and I think that people love the familiarity of hearing songs that they love, because they may appreciate your music, but they also love to hear their favorites. So I mean, I feel like the feeling is like mutual with each thing.
Do you have a crowd favorite?
I have to say that I think "Come to Me" is the one of the newer crowd favorites, because I think my goal with that song was to instantly start it, you know, just kind of bringing in the audience with like a hook, because it starts like on an A minor. So I think that I love A minor chords. So I like to pull people in with that. So definitely "Come to Me," and "La Sombra" actually gets a very good reaction. So those are like my two favorite songs to play of mine.
Now I'm going to ask you a question that one of my listeners has asked me before, not necessarily at you specifically, but when it comes down to singing in accents, I've noticed that, and a couple of my listeners have noticed, like with artists from the UK, for instance, they're British, but when they sing, they sound American.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? Has that happened to you where, you know, you said you're not a native Spanish speaker and you don't really speak Italian. Have you noticed that you sort of sing with an accent?
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. I mean, I think what I do is that I just try to make sure that I'm, you know, pronouncing the Spanish right. And I think that as long as the Spanish is coming out right, and, you know, there's an accent, because you should have, you know, some sort of accent when you're speaking in Spanish. But although there are many different types of dialects and accents that go with that dialect. So I can't really say, oh, well, you know, what dialect are you singing in? I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm really singing in any dialect. It's just the Spanish that I know. I mean, I always do notice, though, that British people do indeed, like, have that American-type accent when they sing. And then there would be artists that I wouldn't even know that they were British until they started, you know, speaking. And it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I thought that they were American, you know. So it's very interesting. But when it comes to, like, a foreign language like Spanish, I mean, I definitely hold that expectation of myself to make sure that it sounds authentic.
I notice. So. I do exactly the same thing. If I'm at karaoke or I'm at SingStar, you must be an awesome person to do karaoke with.
I'm very shy to do karaoke, believe it or not. I get more nervous doing karaoke than I do doing my own shows. It's bad. but it's fun. You know, there's a local place that I like to perform at a lot when I'm home, and they have karaoke, and it's an absolute blast to go there because it starts at around 10 o'clock. And, you know, all my friends are there, and, you know, even my parents, you know, we all go together, and we just have a great time. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun to do karaoke with people that you know.
And I suppose that's a good way of just keeping your voice into it as well. Back to the live show, I forgot to ask this question a bit earlier. What sort of preparation, mental and physical, do you put into a performance?
I just make sure that I get as much sleep as I can because, you know, also when you're a college student, that's one of the things that you lack, I think. So definitely get a lot of sleep. And I don't know. I don't really approach it too differently, believe it or not. It's just, you know, try not to do too much, you know, work with your voice, you know, during the day. You know, I wouldn't want to overdo it. Like, I wouldn't want to scream or, you know, if I'm watching, a Rangers game, you know, try not to scream too much, and then just practice, just go over my set list, and maybe not sing the whole song, but just kind of go through certain areas that I just want to make sure are solid, so that's basically what I do, just practice and sleep and water and tea.
Do you play the guitar every day?
Pretty much, yeah, every day, whether it's for 10 minutes or for 2 hours. Got to make sure that I stay fresh, and it's also just a release, you know. So as long as my fingers hit those strings, you know, at some point during the day, it's like, oh, thank God, you know. It's like my time to just know that, all right, I can go to sleep now, knowing that I at least played something. So
I presume it's a bit relaxing as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was just sick last week, and I'm just getting better. So when I was sick, I couldn't sing. And when, you know, you can't sing, it's like, it feels like you can't walk, basically, because I love singing. And, you know, so I would just sit there with the guitar, and I just had the urge to sing so much, and I couldn't, because if I did, not only would I sound horrible, but I would hurt my voice. So, you know, as much as you want to sing those times when you're ill, you just can't. But, you know, but I got to stay fresh. You know, that's the way you do it. And you find practice rooms on campus and you just go and you rock out.
That's the thing. You want to sing, but if you do, you could push yourself back. And that's the last thing you want to do.
Oh, my God. I know. Absolutely. I mean, I'll be on the phone with my mom and she'll be like, are you drinking your tea? You know, are you having water? Lots of fluids? I'm like, yes, I know. So, because I can get relapses really easily. So if I push it, you know, I could get sick all over again.
Not good. Not good at all. So mm-mm. Why don't you introduce the new song?
All right. Yeah, this is Come to Me. And it's basically just knowing someone, you know, whoever it is, if you're a guy or a girl, and if you really care about them, and you're just dropping those hints, and you're committed to them, and they're not sure if they're going to be committed to you, and that scares you, but, you know, you're just, the message is basically, hey, you know, don't think, just let's just have a relationship, let's jump right into it, So, you know, it's just one of those fun songs that I had a lot of fun writing, and hopefully they'll have fun listening to it.
Awesome. So here it is. So finally, how do you use things like the internet and, you know, things like Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, to get the word out there?
Yeah. Well, what I did was that I was able to sync up my Facebook and my Twitter, because, like, I have a personal page with Facebook, too, but I have the fan page for the Caparo page. And so that syncs up with the Twitter, so that's like killing two birds with one stone there, which is good. But I try not to overdo the Twitter too much because, you know, I don't think I need to say what I'm doing like every 10 minutes, but I mean, you know, I love to put some stuff on there, and the MySpace for sure. I always post shows on my MySpace first, and then I'll send out the invites on Facebook, and then Twitter's like fairly new, I think, at least for me. And I know there are lots of other social networking sites like Reverb Nation, but I don't really use that as much. But my top three are Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter.
And indeed, basically Twitter was the way that we really connected, and you let me know about the new song that way, and we sort of started organizing this interview over Twitter, and then we took it to Emma.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? I actually wish, if my only criticism of Twitter is that, you know, I do wish that they gave you more, like, space and more characters to write an update, because, like, you could be in the middle of, like, a short update and you have, like, just one more word or, like, one more sentence and you can't put it on there, and then you have to, like, tweet another tweet on top of that just to finish the sentence. So that's the only thing that I wish that they had was unlimited characters, but Twitter's great. It really is.
No, and it's really good to be able to find what you're doing. And, for instance, on the website, channelerk.com and erkfm.com, if you go to the erkfm drop-down menu and then videos by erkfm artists, I've actually got one of your YouTube videos up there.
Oh, yay. I had a video of another live performance, and I definitely want to post that one. So once I figure out how to post that, I will definitely let you know.
Awesome. I should tell you which one it is, actually. It's I've Got Your Number.
Oh, yes. I love performing that one. That's a fun one to do.
So is video part of the plan?
Well, an actual music video, I'm not really sure when I'm going to do that. But my main goal is just to write and record as much as I can and as soon as possible. The video, I would love to do a music video. I have lots of ideas. I haven't really gone down that road yet, but it will definitely be in the near future.
Is there an album in the offering?
Well, right now the album that I have is the Capero EP that is actually going to be updated, and I'm going to be adding the seventh song to that EP, which is the newest track, Come to Me. So that's what I will be updating very soon, and you know, I will definitely keep everyone posted as I cut more tracks.
Awesome. It's been an absolute pleasure having a chat. It's really, really good to catch up with you. It's just a shame that I, you know, wasn't in New York City that long. But next time I'm back, we'll have to see if we can catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. You've been listening to Erk FM episode 75 with myself and Capero. There'll be links on the show notes so you can find out more about her. Go to the website and tell her that you heard about her on Erk FM. That would be really cool. So until next time, I'm Erk, and wherever it is that you hear me across Channel Erk, good night, Interweb. You have been listening to a Channel Erk production. Channel Erk and all five podcasts are licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike license registered in Australia. Music is used with direct permission or under agreements with various music providers. All rights to the music contained within remains with the original rights holder. Some sound effects are sourced from the Free Sound Project under Creative Commons. For more information about Channel Erk, go to www.channelerk.com.